Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
Oh, Spaz, I think Spaz may have gotten a guest.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Oh, and it's a huge get.
What?
Wait a minute. It's a guy who used to be on our show from time to time constantly. He's got to get the microphone on. Spaz, I'm telling you, your performance is MVP level.
For the last five minutes.
It's my first official Radio Row visit.
You just got to put that mic. Yes, it's Joe Theismann.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, everybody.
So, Joe, you're speaking with Boston.
Of course.
And, of course, the entire city is enthralled and waiting for...
The entire city is engulfed in cold, is what the entire
city is. Yes, they are.
The whole Northeast is, like, miserable.
Can I ask you a question about the cold?
No, we're doing radio. I'd rather talk instead of having you ask me a question.
And the great Tom Brady?
No, go ahead.
Tom Brady seems to play better in the cold. Is that as a quarterback?
It's hard. I mean, the performance he put on last week against Kansas City, I in particular look at the last three third downs that they converted, the two to Julian, the one to Gronk. The ball had no margin of error. I mean, people don't appreciate how close the chief defensive backs were to that ball. But the way Tom throws it, the velocity he throws it at, and the accuracy with which he throws it was amazing unto itself. But then you take into consideration the conditions. He just continues to amaze. I mean, there are superlatives to describe him, but then you run out of them because there should be more. There's got to be another word out there that is greater than the greatest than the greatest than the great. I mean, there's got to be a word. We'll have to create one just to describe him. Yeah. But I've always admired. But what the performance he put on last week was just, you know, I guess it's almost like we're getting to a point where it's typical Tom.
Will there ever be, I guess it's hard to say, but do you think there will
Oh, no, it's
be,
not hard to say at all.
There will never be anybody like him?
Never be anybody like him. Never be anything like the New England Patriots dynasty that they've created over the last two decades. Really, stop and think about it. So, since Bill got there and since Tom took over, Mr. Kraft, I saw Mr. Kraft this morning and Jonathan. The organization is incredible. And I think I always look at it this way. If you want to make money, read and study people that have done that. If you want to understand our business, and that's why so many people go out of the New England organization someplace else, but they're different types of people, and it's a different type of an organization. They have the foundation built the way they want to, and they work around it. What makes Tom the greatest, in my opinion, is Joe Montana certainly is in that conversation. I think, you know, Terry Bradshaw's in that conversation. People that have won multiple championships. You could even say Troy Aikman's in the conversation. What separates him from everyone else is that was an era when there really wasn't free agency. So you basically had the nucleus of a football team that stayed together like ours did in Washington for the three championships, 10 years. Now all of a sudden you look at what Tom's dealing with, it's like a revolving door. Who's my wide receivers? Josh Gordon is in. Josh Gordon is gone. Okay, Chris Hogan's hurt. Okay, so what do we do now? Julian's down. Let's find Danny Amendola. Okay, Gronk's hurt. Let's find someplace. And yet it doesn't change the efficiency with which he operates.
Is it possible? Joe Theismann is our guest here on Radio Row. Is it possible, Joe, to say whether it is more Belichick or more Brady when it comes to the incredible success that they've had?
I don't think you can separate that. I think they're both responsible to a large degree, and everybody on that football team. It starts with Mr. Kraft. I told Mr. Kraft this morning. It starts at the top. You have to find the right person. They had a little thing on Bill when he was hired 19 years ago. They had a little show on, and I remember making comments about it. Bill and I have been friends for many, many years. Went to Cleveland with him. He offered me an opportunity to join the New England staff many years ago. Chose to stay in television.
Do you regret that?
Not one bit.
No,
not one bit. I mean, it's great to be able to observe And the reason I stayed in broadcasting was simply because I felt like I had access to 32 different sources of information. If you wind up in one organization, you really learn one organization's approach, and this isn't a bad one to learn. But you want to be able to be exposed to as much as you can, and that's what I was able to do. But I think they're joined at the hip. I really do. And it'll be interesting when one decides to leave.
Yes.
Will the other? If Tom decides to leave in the next 10 years, which I'm assuming is reasonable for him. I mean, it's just, you know, I'll tell you a story about that in a second, too. But if, you know, who's going to go first? So I was with Tom at Super Bowl 50. Of course, they lose that game. And that actually becomes a very pivotal part of this one because it was the Denver Broncos.
I was actually with him yesterday.
They beat him.
I did a one-on-one with him yesterday, only when he granted. But go ahead.
Anyway. No, but yes, we're sitting down. We're doing this appearance together.
Yeah.
And it's nice of you to mention that you met him. Very good. Well done. Way to slide that in. Really, it was cute.
Joe.
Well done. Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, we're best friends.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, you were hanging out together. Yeah. I realize it. I didn't see you get off the bus with him, though, yesterday.
I tried.
I kept looking for you.
It's the restraining
I saw, oh, there's Tom. Where are you?
So anyway, yeah. So
we're sitting at Super Bowl 50, and I said, how you doing? He says, no. I said, I hate this. So we mean hate this. You know, we're doing an appearance for something. He said, I shouldn't be here. He said, I should be practicing. I should be on the field getting ready for this.
He doesn't
and
like it.
That is the standard that he has set for himself.
And,
you know, you see how upset he gets when things don't go the way he wants. I mean, he handles the position of quarterback and leader extremely well. He deflects to all the guys. And here's the key going forward. The Rams have started the same offensive line in the last 36 games. And I believe it's the offensive line that drives an offense. You can have a lot of, and of course, the quarterback. But the offensive line is so key. The New England, they've started 14 of the 18 games together, the last 9 together. That cohesiveness is what allows you to be able to operate at an efficient level. And this game really belongs in the hands of the defensive line of the Los Angeles Rams and the offensive line of the New England Patriots. What happens in that area? If you want to watch one thing, watch what happens up front. It's probably going to tell you what's going to happen in the game.
Hey, Joe, it's LB. I'm back in Boston here. I didn't get to enjoy.
You didn't hang out with Tom? I'm sorry.
I didn't get to hang out in the kitchen with Tom.
The invitation will come out next year.
Hey, I just want to ask, give me your thoughts on, the protection that the quarterbacks get now. I mean, we are all well aware of your incident back in the day with the Redskins and your leg. But, how has the game changed, and are you for it, against it? Does it change the game?
I've had cosmetic dentistry, so I can tell you that these these veneers are absolutely the best thing that ever happened to me. Compliments of Byron Hunt from the New York Giants. In 1982, he knocked my teeth out in the last game of the season. So it would have been a helmet to helmet, but of course they probably wouldn't call it, so it wouldn't matter. It's amazing the way things have gone. I think there are certain parts of this. For example, if a defensive lineman comes in and gets blocked into somebody low, I don't think that should be a penalty. I think if you come in and you swat towards a ball and you happen to graze somebody's helmet, that shouldn't be a penalty. If it is, you know, you can almost see they have 2 degrees of roughing the punter.
Yeah.
You have running into the punter and roughing the punter.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that with the quarterback?
Yeah.
You can have a running into the quarterback or a roughing the quarterback. It's not hard to figure out the distinction. The guy throws a ball, you push him, it's a flag. And it all depends on the crew. This is another thing people don't realize. You have to study the crew that's refereeing the game. What do they call? Do they allow a little more snuggling down the field on pass routes?
Yeah.
I mean, coaches do that. I mean, that's how finite our game has become. But I think the rules are good, and they're there to protect the biggest investment a team has. But I think sometimes it goes a little bit beyond where it could.
Well, it's clear that the crew that was doing the NFC Championship game allows everything.
That was – but you know what? Last year in the Super Bowl, you know how many penalties were called against the Pats?
No.
One.
What? That's it?
That's it. There's three – this is my opinion. There's three different degrees of officiating in the NFL. The first is the preseason where there's an implementation of a new rule. We want to emphasize it, so this is what they focus on. Then you get into the regular season where it's a little bit more crew by crew, who's calling what. And then you get into playoffs and they let them play. They really let them play. the league is so bent on saying we do not want an official to determine the outcome of a game, and it backfired on them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was egregious.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't pass interference, it was helmet to helmet. So you basically had two penalties in the same thing. Now, this is my suggestion. I'm going to throw this out here, and I don't know how long we have, but I got all morning.
We have all morning.
Good,
Joe. Okay. For Joe Theismann, yeah. We have all day.
And it's so cold up there in Boston. Who cares? Yeah. Most people are in their house or sitting in traffic, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is my suggestion to the league regarding the situation with officiating. You keep the rules that can be challenged the same, but you give the coach one more challenge. That challenge can be used at any time in the game for anything besides the rules that have been are challengeable.
Oh,
so, for example, let's say you get into the last 3 minutes of a game. You're protecting a lead. Somebody grabs a face mask. It doesn't get called. Well, those 15 yards would be important to you keeping the ball and winning the game, or vice versa.
So the Chiefs could have challenged the roughing the passer.
The Chiefs could have challenged the roughing the passer, and, of course, New Orleans could have challenged the quote-unquote pass interference or helmet-to-helmet.
Yeah.
But one. You only get one. It doesn't slow the game down. I don't agree with trying to review every pass interference, because pass interference and holding in the NFL is like walking in the NBA. It happens all the time. Question is, to what degree are you going to call it?
Right.
As a Joe Theismann is our guest on Radio Row. You were talking about choosing broadcasting over coaching. What do you think of Tony Romo and the job that he does?
I like Tony. I think he does it. Last year he was finding his way a little bit. I like the fact that in the New England Kansas City game, I mean, the last two plays he absolutely nailed.
Yeah.
He absolutely nailed them. I mean, I've been around this game for 40 plus years, and I was listening, and when the safety started to cheat inside, he says, "Oh, he's going to Gronk." But that's Tony being a student. That's Tony understanding the concepts. That's Tony looking at film and knowing the offenses. I think he did. He's done a wonderful job transforming into a broadcaster.
When it comes to Gronk, how important is his blocking to this team?
It's essential because of his size. If he does nothing else, you know, most outside backers or rushers are smaller than he is. So they're either going to have to go around him or through him. They're not going to go through him, especially being healthy. And I thought he was a big key to the game last week, and he's going to be a big, or 2 weeks ago, and he's going to be a big key to the game coming up here. This is his last season.
I agree with you.
I don't think physically he can come back and do it unless they keep him in a partial role, which they basically did, and maybe they will do that if he decides to. But I think if the ring goes on the finger after this one, I think Gronk's going to say, you know, I'm going to go do really something crazy. Not that he hasn't already. He doesn't do it on a continuing basis. But we don't know what the next chapter of Gronk's going to be.
Something better.
Yes, that's right. Heaven knows what that better will be.
Exactly.
I think his blocking is essential. As a matter of fact, you know, I think New England will try and run the football. I don't believe Tom's going to throw for 500 yards in this game.
You don't know.
I don't think he should.
Yeah, but Joe, you got to be impressed with the Patriots' backfield. I mean, they got four.
Oh, yeah.
They got four beasts back there that can do everything and anything.
They have. That's what they're all about offensively. The other person that gets very little credit is Josh McDaniel. It's going to be Josh McDaniel against Sean McVay. You've got two guys that are willing to do anything. All stops come out in this one. Whatever you think you've seen in football, you're probably going to see a little bit more. I mean, even last year, Tom trying to run down the sidelines, and I emphasize the term try,
trying to
run down the sidelines and then, you know, having the ball just bounce off his hands.
Do you think that Josh is the heir apparent?
It sure looks like it. I mean, Josh certainly would have had an opportunity he did in Indianapolis. He turned it down.
Yeah.
For whatever personal reason, he decided to do that. I'm sure he would have been number one on somebody's list this year as far as a head coaching job. I mean, we had, what, 8 of them open up. So I think that he probably feels like he is, and maybe the organization has indicated he will be. It wouldn't be bad to keep the continuity. I think if you change coordinators before Tom left, that would not be a good thing. You know, go back, and I can't think of the years, but go back to the couple of years when he was the head coach in Denver and Tom didn't have him. It wasn't the same offense. the thing you have to understand about the quarterback and the coordinator, coordinators call plays. When the play comes in, the quarterback has to know why the coach called it. Do you want me to try and pick up the first down? Are we on the 35-yard line? Do we have a built-in shot at a touchdown? If I get it, do I take it? Because we're going to go for it on fourth down. Those are all non-communicated elements of the game that you have to understand as an executor of what the play caller has called.
And that happens because you've been doing it together.
Together for so long. By the time, I spent 6 years with Joe. And we used to signal in because we didn't have communicators in the helmets. So I would look at the sidelines. They would start to signal. I would come away from it in an instant. And I got a little bit of an issue with the communicators in the helmets, too, because they shut off at 15 seconds before the play, after the play clock runs down to 15. You don't get a chance as a quarterback to talk to different guys in the huddle. Like when I had Art Monk. And I could get the signal and I'd say, Art, look, okay, we have 333, which were 10-yard outs. On the outside with the tight end running a little short out. If the guy, he's starting to jump outside on you. If he jumps outside on you, just plant your foot in the ground, take it up, I'm going to let it go. But it's hard to do that now because you're on a wristband, you got the coach in your ear reminding you all this stuff. That's one of the challenges for a young quarterback. That's one of the things Jared Goff, I think, has had to deal with is there's a lot of communication in your head besides what's coming in. That you've got 10 other guys. You want to look in their eyes. You want to see if maybe your left guard's nicked a little bit or he's limping. See, how you doing? I'm okay. Linemen are always okay.
When it comes to Goff and that position, is it a distinct advantage that Tom Brady has been there so many times?
It's a distinct advantage that Tom is the veteran. Yeah. Jared said this game is different. I always go back to Dwayne Thomas when he was being interviewed by Tom Brookshire. I believe it was when he and Pat Summerall worked together. And this is when the Dallas Cowboys won. And Dwayne got up to him and said, I don't know what the big deal is. It's just another game. If you can convince yourself of that, good luck. Because it is not just another game.
Is that because of the timeouts, the TV timeouts, the amount of people?
Halftime's longer. It's not a normal game. It's not a normal situation. The only thing that's normal inside this game are the quarters. And the TD timeouts aren't necessarily that much longer because you get the 30s, you get the 45s, and then the breaks go to 60. So, and I had a chance to broadcast Super Bowl 19 when the New England Patriots, if it's a Super Bowl, you assume, you just say New England. You just say, when New England played back in 1976, I remember that one.
Yeah.
But it's a faster game. I noticed for us in the two that I played in, when you got to the Super Bowl, everything seemed, your decisions had to be quicker. You had to get the ball out of your hands quicker. The one thing that Jared Goff does, and I'm curious to see if it'll happen here, he tends to hold the ball a little bit longer than I think he should. If he could get it out quicker with a little more anticipation, I think he's going to be more efficient as he goes forward. We forget how young he is. This is really his second year with Sean.
Yeah.
And, Sean McVay, 33 years old. I had the good fortune of, he was in Washington, and we used to sit early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. I'd go into the office and sit just to talk football with him, just to learn from him. Now, I'm twice his age plus.
Yeah.
But he is a wealth of offensive information. He understands the game. He was destined to be where he is.
Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what. If anybody hasn't caught his presser, that was probably the most impressive head coach press conference.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Oh, my God. I was transfixed. I was not going anywhere. I would have watched him for 15 hours.
He's born for it. I mean, he was literally – and now you see the league trying to find the next. Everybody – in National Football League, we're always looking for the next. They're looking for the next Tom Brady. There'll never be one. They're looking for the next Lawrence Taylor. There'll never be one. They're looking for the next Derek Thomas. There'll never be one. They're looking for the next Deion Sanders. No. They've separated themselves from everybody.
Do you think Joe Theismann is our guest? I thank him for giving us a bit of time here this morning in Atlanta. Do you think there should be a next Roger Goodell?
I don't think so. Roger's in a difficult situation. Now, yesterday he made the comments about the officiating, but what was he going to say?
Yeah.
Everybody knew what it is. You see all the WHODAT signs around here in Atlanta, we got screwed.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
They stole it from us, yeah. Or we belong to be here, whatever. Unfortunately, my whole thing was, as I listened to the explanation, they say, well, the players are human, the coaches are human, the officials are human. If the officials are human, why do we have instant replay? Why do we go through all the electronics to get it right when we don't get it right anyway? And some of the time when it goes to New York, they don't get it right.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go back to human football. Let's play the game it was played when I had a chance to play. There was a little more latitude in what guys could do.
Yeah.
And so it's just – but, God, we love the game. It'll never go away. It's exciting. It's fun. The New England Patriots are in another Super Bowl. Oh, gee whiz. I'm shocked. and I believe they'll win the football game.
Was it tough for you to see the Alex Smith injury?
It was. I was there that – I was in the stand. The same day, November 18th, same part on the field, same score of the game, although we won it. They lost at 23-21. I have a nephew named Alex Smith who's 33 years old. It's just scary.
It's weird.
It's eerie. I'm sitting here with goosebumps now when I go back through it. I turned to my wife, Robin, and I said, that's exactly like mine. It took me 20 years to see mine. Yeah. I didn't see it, and that's the last time I'd ever seen it.
How did you end up seeing it?
What happened was he's in a pile, and then the next shot, he's sort of lying down with, like, the camera behind him, and you could look down his body, and I saw his leg. I saw his leg crook, and I turned to Robin, and I said, man, it's just like mine.
Yeah,
and I don't think he'll play this year. Probably 2020 is what they can shoot for. Remember, he's going to miss an entire offseason. He only played 9 games in the system. So he really didn't totally understand what Jay's going to do. Again, we talk about coordinator and play caller being on the same page. Alex was sort of finding his way a little bit.
What is your prediction for this game? I know everybody asks, but I'm going to ask
anyway. I think New England wins this football game. The New England Patriots, just in the last 2 weeks, are playing the best football they've played. Couple of questions in this game. These are things for people when they're watching it to look at. If you're a Rams fan, which there's probably one hidden somewhere in a closet up in Boston somewhere, you know, there's always one somewhere, so you got to assume that. It's like there's always a Dallas Cowboy fan in Washington somewhere. We never know where. They don't want to be identified.
Some kids going to Boston University from San Diego.
That's right. They came from San Diego or Los Angeles area. They grew up. That's not their fault. But there's two things. What is the mental state going to be of Todd Gurley? If something happens early in the game, does he quote-unquote check out?
Yeah.
He can't. This is one you don't check out in. There's no exits out of this one. And secondly, how will the game be officiated? You know the New England Patriots. You know the Los Angeles Rams. Those are two entities you're positive. You have a pretty good understanding. But how will they officiate it? Will they tighten it up? Will we see closer calls on pass interference so they don't have to deal with what they've dealt with so far? I thought Roger made a great point yesterday. If we're talking about the officials after a game, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And this is something I guarantee you they don't want. I hope they let them play. And we'll find out early in this game exactly whether they're going to let them play or not.
And Tom Brady keeps going.
At that particular conversation we had, I asked him how long he was going to play. Now, remember, that was 50, so that was three years ago.
Yeah.
And he was 38 at that time. I said, how long do you want to play? He said, 4 or 5 more years.
Yeah.
So I think if you're a New England Patriot fan, Tom's not going away. I think at least a couple more years. And the reason why he can do it is his arm hasn't lost a thing. That's all of us have lost the fastball to a degree at a certain age. Mine went at like 35. It wasn't quite. I saw where I wanted the ball to go, but I couldn't quite get it there.
Didn't quite get
and it
there.
It was only an inch off, but an inch in this business is huge. I think he has at least 2 years left.
And what about Bill?
Bill loves this game. It's a big chess match.
He doesn't like the other stuff. He doesn't like the media stuff.
Oh, he doesn't like press conferences?
Yeah.
What gave you that indication? Gee, Dr. Obvious, Captain Obvious.
But you think he keeps going too?
I think because there's so many different chess pieces that he works with, I think it becomes a great challenge for him. You know, last year after when he won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, or even last year, he said, "Yeah, I'm a month behind in preparation for the draft." He is all consumed in football.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a fun guy to be around. He is the greatest coach we've had. Think, just put this in perspective. Tom Brady's played in 9 Super Bowls. This is the 53rd. Okay, it's like just under 20% of the Super Bowls. There are guys that don't even sniff this.
Yeah,
and never will. And then Bill Belichick. This is his 12th. There's some, if a guy comes to 12 of these things as a head coach and as an assistant, he's done a pretty darn good job. And the Giants were a big part of the ones while he was here.
Yeah.
So I think Bill's going to be – I'm curious to see if and when they go together or if one leaves and then the other. But I think at least a couple more years for both of them.
Well,
wouldn't be surprised.
It's great to have you on this morning.
I appreciate you guys. Great being with you.
Joe Theismann, enjoy yourself down here. Are you going out to any of the –
I've got some functions to do. New one for Miller Coors coming up here.
What do they throw you for that? Is it like a smooth 50, 75?
A case of beer.
Oh, just a case of beer?
Just a case of beer. I'm a very gratuitous individual.
Hey, you know, Joe,
I'm in the philanthropy. I know. You want me to send it to Boston. I understand that. Yeah.
I just want to say, speaking of endorsements, I want to thank you. I think when you did our show, you've done it many times, but one of the Super Bowls, you were promoting Beta Prostate.
Yes, Super Beta Prostate.
Yeah,
I did it for
I'm
a lot
on
of
it.
Years.
I'm on it. It's a game
is it working?
Changer. 100%.
Thank you. I'm still on it. I stopped doing it 7 years ago. I still take it. It's something for people to try. I've had one guy come up to me and said, you know, that stuff doesn't work. He said, my doctor told me to drink a big glass of water before I go to bed, and it just doesn't work. I'm thinking, if you drink a big glass of water before you go to bed, I don't care what you're taking. It's not going to stop anything.
I'm thinking it doesn't stop it.
Just as an FYI, last night I was on Guy's Grocery Games. I was on TV last night. And then Saturday, the premiere of the movie I did on Hallmark, Snow Coming, was on. And it's on every other night this week, as a matter of fact. So,
it's called
Snow Coming.
What's it about?
It's about a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl and lost a Super Bowl. Oh, coincidentally. And I'm his agent.
Oh.
My client's name's Jake, and I'm Lenny, the agent.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he goes back home for his high school coach's retirement. His old sweetheart happened to be the coach's daughter. They reconnect. It's a classic Hallmark. At the end of the movie, you're either crying or you're crying and you feel good.
Maybe you could play Papa Gronk in the movie when Gronk heads to acting next.
Well, next? Did you say next? He's already there. Gronk's stage just happens to be the world. That's all it is, too. That's not a screen. There's no silver screen that holds the Gronk.
Well, Joe Theismann, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. All great right. being with you. Take care. Stay warm up there.
Good get, Spaz. All
care.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.